Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made.
Good morning and welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, for the show. And if you listen regularly, you know that we give you the date, the 25th of September, but regardless of the day, that what is true about our lives and about our faith and about moving forward as believers all around our country and our listening audience is that that tomb is empty and we serve the living King of the only kingdom that knows no end. And so because that's true and because we have the hope that we do, we can enter into conversations around the news and around the topics of the day with an authenticity, with a faith, and with a real hope that there's always going to be future regardless of the difficulties of today. So I hope as you have your coffee this morning, maybe you're on your way to work, maybe you've already arrived to work, trying to get your kids out of bed and off to school, that this program can help you start your day with that perspective that regardless of what comes, we can continue to follow Jesus. Joined in studio here for the show by Logan Rausch and Paul Perreault, along with Rachel Sutton, who has regularly booked some of the great guests for the show, and she's on the board for the second half of the morning. Great to have her with us this morning, and we sure love it when you call in as well as listeners. We had a great question from John and Bismarck for Dr. Rosemary Stein last hour, and you can call us or text us at any time at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-FAITH. And again, a great first hour of the program with Tommy Binion of the Heritage Foundation, along with Dr. Rosemary Stein, who is helping us with parenting. And excited to have Bruce Ashford joining us for this segment of our first hour. I know Bruce is already on the line, and he's written an article recently just around the idea of the natural evil of hurricanes. And I have to say that one of the questions I regularly get from my students in class, and I think many of us have, is how do we understand a good God who might allow these natural evils to happen. And so excited to have Bruce walk us through that in the first hour and of our show. But before getting there, we can read our quote that we've been working with all morning, which is this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He's a great theologian and just thinker about our Christian faith. And even as we think about these hurricanes that bring such anxiety in our lives or the troubling headlines of our day, Spurgeon says this about staying focused on today and not tomorrow. He says, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but only empties today of its strength." So no matter how much anxiety we have, it doesn't mean that sorrow is not going to come tomorrow, but it does mean if we live in that pool of anxiety that so many of us do, it is going to empty the day of our strength. So instead of worrying about this, so says Jesus, he says, "Come all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Such an important invitation as we sort through the headlines of our day. I'm excited to be joined by Dr. Bruce Ashford next on Faith Radio Mornings. And that is the Welcome to the Jungle music that Bruce Ashford has chosen as his walk-up music, representative of so much what's going on in our world. And Bruce, I know you are a dean and provost of faculty at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and you also are a professor of theology and culture, writing quite often for your website, BruceAshford.net, Christianity for the Common Good. And so as listeners, I highly recommend going to BruceAshford.net and checking out the articles that can help us work through the jungle of today. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Great to be back on the show, Peter.
So I'd be curious, before we get into some of the conversation around the natural evil of hurricanes, there's so much going on in our society, and I know you are an observer of culture and politics and just how we interact with one another. How are you processing what seems to be increasing, if that's even possible, rancor between the Democrats and the Republicans and some of the scorched earth that's taking shape right now?
Yeah, I'll try to make it brief, and I'm going to start out negative but end on a note of hope. So I would like to, those of you out there in radio land, I write for national outlets and I majored in journalism. I know a little bit about the media. What we're seeing right now is two major political parties who desperately need each other and media outlets that have lined up on the left and the right who also need each other badly because they need an enemy and they need to make you angry and afraid of the horrible people on the other side of the aisle. And so the political parties colluding together and the media outlets colluding together to polarize and tribalize. They're all benefiting from it enormously financially, And I think as Christians, we need to keep our center of gravity and not be whipped up into a frenzy by media outlets or even major political parties. And so that's a little bit of a cynical take, but I think that's a large part of what's going on. Another thing that's going on is there are some pretty bad people out there who are, behaving in a very ugly manner. But here's our hope. Our hope is this. Number one, that Christ will return one day to set the world aright. He will. That's a fact. And when he returns, he'll set up a one-world government and a one-party system in which justice will roll down like the waters. He'll bring justice. And that's we look forward to that day. And in the meantime, no matter how ugly things get, no matter how tribalized, how polarized, how oppressive, as believers and as a Christian community, we still can be a preview of his coming kingdom by being a community that is filled with both truth and grace. That we speak the truth of God's word with the mercy and grace and loving disposition that Christ spoke it. And with that combination of truth and grace, that combination of truth and love, we can be a preview of his coming kingdom, no matter how ugly everything and maybe everyone else is.
Bruce, that's such an important word, I think, for all of us to hear. It really does call to mind Revelation 21:4, where it does say, "And at that time, God shall wipe all the tears from their eyes." We're not at that time yet, but we can live in a different way, even while we do shed tears in this world that isn't working the way that it's meant to work. And that's true even of the article that you wrote around the hurricane that I know was close to your neck of the woods in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And how would you suggest, Bruce, in terms of as we are impacted by these natural evils, this is just a result of a world that has been fully affected by the fall, and how do we process that?
Yeah, good question. And for those of you out there in radio land who have children, especially small children, you'll know that, you will be able to agree with me that I think one of the toughest things to do is to answer the question of a small child when they ask a big question, such as my son asked a couple weeks ago, where is God in the middle of a hurricane? So, my children are 9, 7, and 5, and I had taken them out on the back porch. We have a porch on the second floor of our house. And they were protected from the winds a little bit because there's a kind of an alcove there. But we were watching the pine trees being whipped, back and forth, side to side, leaves, limbs falling on the ground. The clouds in the sky looked like they were race cars, basically. I've never seen clouds move so quickly because of wind so fast. And we were talking about the power of a hurricane and how a hurricane can hurt people and even kill them. And my little boy asked where God is in the middle of the hurricane, and I'm not sure exactly what he meant by the question, except that he wanted to know where God was located. But it brought up a deeper issue, and so I ended up writing an opinion article for Fox on it that made a few points. And the first point is to remember that God does not delight in disaster, and certainly does not delight in human death, in human suffering. And the proof of that is that when God created the world, we see in the account in Genesis 1 and 2, he created it good and very good. And at the time of creation, man and woman had a perfect relationship with God, perfect relationship with each other, and a perfect relationship with the created order, with the natural world. And it's not until Adam and Eve rebelled against God, Genesis chapter 3, that evil was introduced to the world. Now, this is difficult to understand, very difficult to fathom. But somehow, in some way, human sin, when it entered in the world, ended up twisting nature, entered into the structure of nature and twisted it, corrupted it toward wrong ends, so that the good water and good wind that God created is now sometimes twisted toward disaster and destruction. Now, in the middle of that, we have to remember that God has been gracious to us in keeping the world from becoming as bad as it could be. I mean, once evil was unleashed on the world, we could have ended up with a world that had nothing but tornadoes and hurricanes and nothing but human evil such as murder and rape. But God has restrained sin and evil from being as bad as it could possibly be so that we can still live and flourish in the world. Am I talking too much right now?
No. I think it's such an important conversation. I'm just going to ask a follow-up to that, Bruce. So what becomes our responsibility in this to help partner with God, co-labor with God? You mentioned at the top of our segment the idea that we really are called to live in the present a certain kind of way that shines a light on the future that is to come. How can we begin to shine that light in the midst of such difficult circumstances like a hurricane?
Yeah, you know, a couple of things, I think. The first is, the first thing is just to stand back and think about the greatness of God. When I was sitting there with my son and my daughters, and my wife joined us there on the porch, and we were looking at the winds and how powerful they were, that a 30-foot pine tree could get whipped all the way almost to the ground before it bent back and whipped in the other direction. And I told these kids, remember, when you see something as powerful as a storm, remember that God and His Word are even more powerful, far more powerful than the most powerful force you see in the world. So they can be reminders of God's greatness and God's power and the fact that God will one day still all winds and all storms. The second thing is that these natural disasters bring tragedy, and for that reason they give Christians, all people, but right now I'm saying Christians in particular, the opportunity to love our neighbors. And a lot of people did risk their lives. And it wasn't just professional rescuers. It was citizens who worked for Samaritan's Purse or North Carolina or South Carolina Baptist Disaster Relief. Those are two really big volunteer organizations. And this is an opportunity to show the love of Christ, right? And as Christians, the Bible tells us that we are to be known by our love, and that if we are not loving, we have no reason to think that we're a Christian. And then finally, broadening out past Christian love, I just have to hope that in some small way, even against my tendency to be pretty cynical right now, that these kind of acts of love and courage in the midst of an evil like Florence, maybe they could be a catalyst to help bring some sort of healing to our divided nation.
Hmm.
We're in a dumpster fire right now, socially, culturally, and politically. And the media feed it, politicians feed it, playing to the worst impulses and fears and angers of their voters. And it's a really ugly situation, and I pray to God that He will somehow bring some healing to our nation. The last thing that I would say, just as a reminder, everything comes back to the cross and the resurrection. And if we're wondering where God is in the middle of suffering, why He doesn't stop a hurricane like this, I can give an answer, a theological answer, a deeply theological answer about evil and God and His power. But I just want to focus in on the cross, that if we ever have any doubt as to whether or not God loves us, His death on the cross proves the lengths to which he was willing to go to identify with our suffering and one day defeat it once and for all.
Bruce, such an important and hopeful message on this. And I know the article that you wrote about Florence, which can help us process some of these events of natural evil, we've posted a link to that on our Faith Radio Mornings Facebook page. I know that our listeners can go to BruceAshford.net as well and catch that article. And Bruce, I'd love to follow up here after the break with that conversation about how we as believers in the midst of a divided and fractured and hurting nation maybe don't want to put our hope into the politicians to win one way or the other, but maybe live a different way of life in the midst of that. So more to come with Bruce Ashford on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by Dr. Bruce Ashford. He writes for BruceAshford.net, Christianity for the Common Good. Does a great job helping us as believers think through our engagement with the government, our engagement with our society. And Bruce, you referenced the idea that we're in a bit of a dumpster fire right now as a society in terms of the way our leadership on both sides of the aisle are treating one another, and it's just getting so difficult and ugly. But I think what this reveals potentially is that there always has been different kingdoms that are part of there's the one kingdom that knows no end, that will persist forever. It's the kingdom of Jesus in the midst of these temporary kingdoms of this world. So how can we as believers engage with the kingdoms of this world but recognize our ultimate allegiance lies somewhere different?
Yeah, so let me start with a quicker answer and then unfold it a little bit. The heavenly kingdom that we're a member of should be our primary. It is our primary and first kingdom. And any allegiances that we have to political leaders, political parties, to favorite news outlets should be secondary. And we should find ways of making that very clear. I think, most people in America have probably, we've been discipled by our favorite news and opinion outlet and our favorite radio talk show hosts, secular ones. We've been discipled by them more than we have by God and His Word, and it causes a pretty big problem. We need to work against that. And I think one of the ways, if we're talking about suffering and hurricanes and things like this, I think a good question for us to ask, just in terms of God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom, is what might God, how might He take the evil that we're experiencing or the personal pain that we're experiencing, and work in the midst of that to do something special in our life? How much time we got? We got 5 minutes on the
Yeah,
show?
Around there, maybe 4 or 5 minutes, sure.
Okay. So I think, let me give 3 categories of how God can work in and through personal suffering or disasters and so forth. The first is that sometimes God takes those tough events and He disciplines us. When the Lord, whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And so He uses the suffering that we're undergoing to awaken us to ways that we need to conform to His will. Okay, and so that's painful, but when God gives a little bit of pain in the here and now, it's in order for us not to experience worse pain in the future, like the consequences of our sin. So one is discipline. A second is depth. That in the first one, King David is an example in the Bible, that God disciplined him very harshly for his sin, but it was for his good. A second way God can work in our lives is depth. That example of that would be Job. That God will allow us to experience great suffering because He wants to heal us. We can't always see that. Imagine a close-up video of a knife getting ready to be plunged into a person's flesh. That seems evil. But imagine if the camera panned out and it's actually a doctor with a scalpel getting ready to remove a cancer. And so when it comes to depth, you know, I think sometimes we can't see that the suffering we undergo, God is going to take it and help us to go deeper in our walk with Him. And sometimes in order for us to really see Him clearly, we have to get knocked on our back a little bit so that we look up. And then the last thing is demonstration, that sometimes God takes the suffering and the pain that we undergo, like He did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and He lets us undergo that so that He can save us from it. And so that we can even say that even in the midst of that suffering, that having God and knowing Him is greater and anything that life can give us or that suffering and death can take away from us.
Those are such important points, Bruce, in terms of just the perspective on what's happening with suffering in the midst of our certain circumstances. And you started our segment with the idea that we really are people who can look towards a future and a hope, and that there really is a hope coming. This was the purpose behind the book of Revelation when John wrote it, was that he was offering people in the midst of their own suffering and persecution in the first century a glimpse of the future so they could persist in that because they knew a better future was coming.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think let's give a tapestry analogy for a moment. Have you ever seen a tapestry that's kind of numerous different threads of numerous different colors woven together? And God's going to take the different threads of our life and the threads of this earthly kingdom, some of them beautiful and resplendent colors, some of them terrifying and dark colors. And He's going to weave those threads together, and the result of it is going to be a beautiful tapestry. And one day in the end, we'll be able to look back and see God's hand present in weaving together all of the threads of world history and all of the threads of our lives to make what in the end will be a beautiful tapestry. I think that's a good analogy.
I think it is, too. And I think in the midst of some of our darkness and doubt in the present, too, to have friends that can see that future on our behalf when all seems lost is such an important piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, it is. You know, God made us for community. And I mean, if you're a Christian, you're out there in radio land and you love the Lord and you're not involved in church right now for whatever reason, churches have disappointed you. Of course, they have. There's disappointing people in churches. All of us are disappointing. Let me encourage you to get back involved in church somewhere. God kind of throws us into the middle of churches, surrounded by people that we might never hang out with otherwise, that are different from us. They have different opinions, they're different ages, maybe different races, but it's exactly in that kind of community that God begins to work on our life and shape us and make us who He needs us to be. And it's exactly that community that can support us in times of suffering and personal anguish.
Bruce, we've got about just a minute left or so. For people that do, though, feel skeptical or maybe they've been burned by people in the past, is it sort of a process to get back involved in terms of the Christian community, and can it be that way? If, you know, obviously there's been a lot of trouble and troubling headlines coming out of both the Protestant and the Catholic Church lately, but we still need to press into this to some degree.
Yeah, we do. And so the first thing that I would say, if you've been burned by the church, you are not alone. So many of us have had very negative experiences in various churches, but remember this. The church is because it's full of sinful people. Christianity is for sinners. and only for sinners. Only sinners are welcome in the church. And so that's the bad news. You're going to find sinners in church. But the good news is that we're in the process of being redeemed by Christ, and that he wants to work on our lives and work on us while we're in the midst of a local church setting.
Bruce, so love your perspective, just, you know, coming at it from an entire sort of global perspective about faith and about history and about who we are as believers in this country. And I know we really encourage our listeners, if you're listening this morning, you can head to BruceAshford.net, read some of his articles on Christianity for the Common Good. You can also hit our Facebook page on Faith Radio Mornings, as we'll post some of the links to Bruce's stuff. So, Bruce, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week, and thanks so much for contributing to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show, Peter.
We'll take a break here for Breakpoint and Bottom of the Hour News, and we'll be joined by Galen Carey of the National Association of Evangelicals, and we'll talk about how we as evangelicals can engage civically in the midst of all these difficult headlines coming out of Washington, D.C. Great Breakpoint from Eric Metaxas this morning. I think it's just so helpful to hear about the church's response to the government in places like China. It really does highlight what I was just talking about with Bruce Ashford in the last segment around the idea that the church and the government really are two different entities and two different kingdoms. And to give our allegiance to the one that has no end doesn't mean that we don't engage with the government. It just means that we don't find our hope permanently in the government. And that's a conversation that we'll have next with Galen Carey, who's the Vice President of Government Relations for the National Association of Evangelicals. And they just released a statement this last March talking about how we as evangelicals can be engaged in the government, but still have our allegiance to the kingdom that knows no end. And so that's coming up next on Faith Radio Mornings. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, I was joined by Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post, and he was talking about one thing we can do as believers is to pray for clarity and truth in our government.
I was speaking with a friend of mine who is a very discerning individual, and she said it's so important that believers in Jesus Christ, when you consider what's going on in our government and what is at stake, that you go before the Lord and pray and ask for his wisdom to know what's really going on in the spirit realm, that we need to discern the source of what's going on and pray that above all else, the truth and that righteousness prevails. That's our responsibility as Christians, to contend for what's good and to pray for God's will to happen and for his ways to be known, and that evil will be exposed wherever it lies, in whatever party, in whatever issue, that righteousness would prevail.
Love having Brandon's perspective on the show. He's just so well-versed in all of these issues. He's written for a long time for the Christian Post. Highly recommend checking out his work there, as well as if you want to catch our entire segment, head to myfaithradio.com and just listen to how he walked through some of the issues of the day. Well, I see we have Galen Carey on the line already from the National Association of Evangelicals, Vice President of Government Relations there, and they recently released an update to one of their civic calls for responsibility that includes things like the broken immigration system, sexual harassment and abuse, human trafficking, and other social ills. Excited to be joined in the conversation by Galen here next on Faith Radio Mornings.
Have you ever expected a police officer to stop you on the freeway and say, "Hey, great job driving"? No, you constantly look over your shoulder to see if they're going to give you a ticket. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. As parents, sometimes we come off like highway patrol officers. We pull alongside our kids, wave them to the side to find them, issue warrants, and take them into custody. Our intentions are to instruct and guide our teens, but to them it can feel like we're right on their tails with red lights flashing. When communicating with our teens, it's important we instruct and nurture them as parents, not just officers of the law. You don't want to be the cop in the family. You want to be the parent.
Mom, Dad, are your tried and true parenting methods not as effective as they used to be? Parenting expert Mark Gregston is here to help. For a list of Mark's upcoming events and seminars, visit ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
It's about 20 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line at this time by Galen Carey, who is the Vice President for Government Relations for the National Association of Evangelicals. Good morning, Carey.
Good morning, Peter. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. I really appreciate you coming on the show to just talk through so many of the issues. I know you recently released just sort of your seminal guide for how we can engage civically as evangelicals. Before getting into some of the specifics of that policy, I'd be curious, just how are you approaching just involvement with the government in general since the election of President Trump? I know a lot of the conversations and even news headlines is that evangelicals maybe have to look past some of the personal behavior and into the policies that are for the good of our country.
Well, indeed, the very first responsibility that we have is to pray for our leaders, and so we encourage everyone to regularly pray for President Trump and for our leaders in Congress and all the people working in the administration. They have taken on God-given responsibilities, and they need to be guided by God, and so prayer is the very most important thing we can do to support them.
Mm-hmm. Galen, I'd be curious as then we get into some of the specific issues of the day and the social ills. I know if you look through history, the church has typically had to figure out what's going on in the culture as the culture changes, and the church needs to not necessarily change but begin to address new situations. What was some of the behind-the-scenes conversation that you were having that said, we really need to address such concerns as white supremacy or broken immigration system? How do these things come to the top of the list?
Well, we have a long process of consultation and discernment starting back in 2000, actually, where we called together Christian leaders to talk about what issues are facing our country. That culminated in 2004 in the release of the first edition of For the Health of the Nation. And so then we did a similar process in revising it, not quite as extensive. I think a major shift that we see in the conversation is that back in the early 2000s, evangelicals were feeling like the wind was at our back and that we had a lot going for us and that we could really contribute a lot. And in the intervening years, we've seen the culture drift significantly in a way that's away from Christian principles. And so I think there's much more sense now that it's not that we're in charge and we're telling everyone else what to do and how to be blessed, but more we are giving a godly example of what Christians who follow Jesus look like, and try to attract people by our vibrant testimony.
Well, and I think having strong families is obviously one of the central dimensions of having a strong witness in our country. And so you suggest that one of the principles for Christian political engagement really is that we seek to strengthen marriages and families and children. And Galen, I'd be curious your thoughts about how we can do that at the governmental level and what we can encourage our policymakers to do to help strengthen the family.
Well, we know that children in particular are vulnerable, starting with the unborn, who are supremely vulnerable. They need to be protected. But even after children are born, their brains develop very rapidly, so they need to be given homes in which they are nurtured, fed, encouraged, and challenged. And that's not the responsibility primarily of government, but some public policies do impact how that is able to be done. So, for example, in cases where families are struggling to put food on the table, nutritional assistance is a vital investment in the future of our young citizens, so that when they grow up, their brains will be fully developed and they will be able to contribute.
I know one of the other principles that came out of Christian political engagement as part of the document distributed here is the idea of caring for God's creation. I know that as I work with young people here at university, that is a topic of interest, and increasingly so, around how do we understand climate change, if it's happening, to what degree, what do we do about it, some of even the impact it has globally. So how are you as the National Association of Evangelicals approaching this conversation around the climate and caring for God's creation?
Yes, well, we are taking our cues very much from our evangelical brothers and sisters around the world. And in 2010, in the Cape Town Lausanne conference, they issued a statement that it calls for evangelicals to be engaged in working on care of God's creation, including preparing for and mitigating the effects of climate change. And so we have endorsed the Cape Town Commitment's call in that regard, and we do believe that God has entrusted us with responsibility to care for our environment. So clean air, clean water, protecting against pollution, these are all things that affect health, the well-being of our children, even of the elderly. And so we think these are things, they're complicated areas where there are scientific issues to be evaluated, but there are areas that we should not shrink back from addressing.
And Dr. Carey, I know you worked for World Relief for quite some time, and my family and I, we were at a concert this last Friday night in which they stopped the concert for a bit to offer the invitation for us as believers to maybe sponsor a child who needed clean water. They were walking an hour one way each day to hope that they would have clean water out of the well that day. And so when we give to these organizations like World Relief, you've been at the ground level there. Does the money really translate into authentic help for the people in these villages? It sure seems to, but you've been there and seen it.
Yes, indeed. In fact, groups like World Relief frequently work with and through local churches, which are right on the scene and are there long after other organizations may have left. And so if our strategy is to empower local believers, we think there can be tremendous life-saving transformation take place.
That's Dr. Galen Carey of the National Association of Evangelicals. We'll take a short break, Dr. Carey, and when we come back, I would love to get your perspective on some of the rise of human sex trafficking. I know, again, I'm seeing more students come into my classroom wanting to major maybe in social justice or criminal justice or something along those lines to help with this destructive reality in our world. So we'd love to get your perspective on what we can do to help in that situation here next on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by Dr. Galen Carey, who's the Vice President of Government Relations for the National Association of Evangelicals. And Dr. Carey, I'd be curious, I know that you do some work representing the principles and ideas for evangelicals in front of the Congress, White House, and the courts. How do you prep for some sort of meeting like that with maybe members of Congress or at the White House?
Well, first, we have to understand the issue seriously. Too often, people will see an email or something on the internet, and they will respond without having done their homework. So we do a lot of research to understand what's really going on. We consult with people who give their whole attention to each particular issue. Then we have to understand the people we're meeting with, what's their background, what passion has called them into public service. And what are their interests and their needs? If they're a politician, we have to ask what do the people back home have to say. And so there's a lot to think about. And then we pray because we want God's Spirit to be leading us as we meet. Oftentimes we will bring constituents with us to meetings when we're meeting with a member of Congress, local pastor, for example, and then we will let them tell about what's happening in their local church, and oftentimes that local connection makes quite a difference.
Yeah, I'd imagine it has to be interesting conversations to be just trying to work together with our faith and with the government. And I think one of those conversations can be around the rise of human trafficking. And I don't know, Dr. Carey, has human trafficking always been with us in our world in such a troubling kind of way, or is it really on the rise globally?
It is an age-old problem, but it is on the rise as well because of the increases in communications and transportation, and especially through the internet, it's so easy to arrange things online and hard for law enforcement to keep up with it. So you have tragic situations where people are actually put into modern-day slavery. Some of it is related to sexual issues, and some is labor-related. And in both cases, people are exploited and oppressed. And many times you shouldn't think necessarily someone in actual chains, but they're oftentimes psychological chains that people have so manipulated, especially young women, young girls and women, that they're in a very, very difficult situation.
if I'm a young person today, maybe in a church, and I know I was in church this weekend and there was a video shown around an organization that's helping people to experience freedom from all of these different forms of trafficking. Is there a way young people can get involved besides maybe giving money and praying? Is there, what would you suggest if you had an 18 to 22 year old to say, boy, if you're interested in this, here are some ways to get involved?
Well, the first thing would be to study the issue carefully, because there are a lot of assumptions about it that we sometimes make that may not be accurate. And if we want to have an effective response, we have to understand. I would talk to people in my local community who are responding to this. There are responses to trafficking in almost every community in America, and find out what's already being done, how we can join others before starting something new. See how we could join what's already being done.
And is this an issue that's only overseas or out there somewhere, or is this really close to home? I seem to hear some headlines from time to time that it's in pretty much every community around us, even if we're not aware of it.
Yes, indeed. It's in, very, very many times it's almost invisible, but it's there. And I think it's particularly important for parents who have young girls at home to carefully prepare them to resist any kind of recruitment that may go on. Many times people, the traffickers look for vulnerable girls, and then they ply them with gifts and attention, and it becomes a very seductive, literally a very seductive enterprise. So I think what we can do in our churches to protect our young girls is one of the most important things.
And do those invitations tend to come? Are they through social media channels? How would young girls be getting contacted? You talk about educating ourselves on the issue. I wouldn't even know for sure how the initial points of contact happen. So maybe talk our listeners through that.
Yes, certainly the internet is a big part of it, and you know, our children are online so many hours a day. It's really it's a great area of vulnerability, and then as well in even in real life, at school or after school, when they're going to the mall, anytime they are out and accessible to other people, we have to be concerned about what people may be trying to do to them.
It's also troubling. I know it's tough to be a parent, grandparent these days with our kids and sort of what's out there. And I know another of the conversations that's real central to us in our country right now has to do with the sexual abuse of women. And that's obviously the hashtag MeToo movement and coming to light so many of the historic ills in the way women have been treated. How are you processing what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now around the Judge Kavanaugh hearings, in which there's this legitimate issue of female sexual abuse, and yet maybe it's being weaponized or politicized at this point to derail a confirmation process? It doesn't seem like it's helpful to the cause.
Well, you're right. It is a serious issue, and we have to be careful not to dismiss allegations from people who may have been abused. In the current climate, there's also a lot of opportunity for abuse of the whole allegation system. So I think we need a lot of discernment. We need to pray, especially now, for our people in the United States Senate, who are being called to discern how they should proceed with the confirmation process. And as well, in the broader picture, we recognize that even in the church, we're not immune from these problems, and we need to be vigilant. We need to do trainings on how to protect our people from sexual misconduct, and how to develop the kind of character so we're the kind of people who don't engage in any inappropriate behavior.
Dr. Carey, really appreciate your time this morning and just the way you can contribute to the conversation. I really appreciate just how thoughtful you are in terms of engaging the issues of the day. So thanks for your time.
God bless you. It's good to be with you.
We'll take a break here and wrap up our show here for Faith Radio Mornings. Interesting theme emerging from the show this morning with all of our guests, from Tommy Binion to Bruce Ashford to Dr. Galen Carey, just about how we as believers can continue to have our allegiance to the eternal kingdom, talk about news and topics from that perspective, but stay engaged civically and responsibly so that we can help through a variety of ways the people that are experiencing suffering and turmoil. So great show today. Appreciate you listening and look forward to catching you tomorrow on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.